You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back, everybody, to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We're going to hear now an interview probably a month and a half ago with the godfather of the NFL, Gil Brandt, between Nathan and I, recapping the Browns offseason and why he thinks the Cleveland Browns have gotten so much better this offseason.
Gil, you're in town for the Rookie Symposium, so I want to start with the Browns rookies, 12 of them that they drafted this year. What did you think of the class that Ray Farmer and company put together?
I thought it was a very, very good class. And I think, you know, if you don't have a quarterback, it's never a sexy class, or you don't have a star receiver, it's never a sexy class. But I'll say this, that their number one pick, Danny Shelton from Washington, is a really good football player, plus being a really excellent guy. And he has got great initial quickness. You know, his time in the 40 was not outstanding, but I'll tell you what, he runs 5 to 7 yards as fast as anybody does, and he'll have a good time doing it, and I don't think you'll have any problems with him outside of football. Really a great, great person.
Gil, what do you make of the 19th overall pick with Cam Irving as an insurance policy for Alex Mack potentially opting out of his deal after this football season?
Well, I like Cam a lot. And, you know, I think that what they had to do last year in 2013, they really ran the ball well at Florida State. And they had 4 of the 5 starters back. Only the center who went on to play at New England was not back. And about midway through the season, they changed Cameron to center, and he played really well there. I think when you get a player that can play multiple positions like he can, you got a chance to have a good player. You know, he's one of those South Georgia kids, really, really great young man. We had him at the draft. We thought he was somewhere around the 20th to 25th pick, and we were pretty right. But another player of high quality. You know, the kind of players that you win with.
Gil, when you look at this team, a lot of talent's been added in, not only in the draft, but also free agency. Some veterans coming in, Dwayne Bowe, Brian Hartline, Josh McCown, Randy Starks, Tremont Williams, to name a few. How much improved do you feel that this Browns roster is headed into 2015 compared to where it was a year ago?
Well, you know, as an example, Tremont Williams is 31 years old. And it's a great story. You know, he went to Louisiana Tech, and his first year out, the first year there, he never even went out for football. He was an engineering student, and all of a sudden he said, "Hey, you know what? I can play as good as some of those guys can." And you know, he did a great job for Green Bay as a corner. Did a great job in the one season. I know he went on to the Pro Bowl, probably more than one season. But they got some older players, and when you get older players that are 31 years of age, sometimes they just don't play up to what you expect them to play or expectations are. You know, Starks is a really, really good defensive lineman. I do think that they got players that are going to play for you. Sometimes we get unrestricted free agents that come in and get a bunch of money and then kind of take a siesta. I don't think any one of those players that you mentioned will do that.
Gil, one older player, if not the oldest player here in Cleveland that was added via free agency, quarterback Josh McCown. How do you think he'll be able to come in here with the weapons that he have, as we've mentioned, Bowe, Hartline, Hawkins, Gabriel, and kind of stabilize the quarterback position here in Cleveland?
Well, you know, he's a Jacksonville, Texas player. And he's one of those guys that there are a boatload of McCowns, and they're all quarterbacks, and they all play pretty good. And I think that's what he will do. I think he will come in, he will start, and, I think that what your team, I think, was 5-2 at one time.
Yep.
I think if you had Josh McCown in there, probably the rest of the season maybe wouldn't have been 5-2. But I do think you would have had a winning season. And if you'd had a winning season last year in that last 9 games, I guess, it would have put you in the playoffs.
It would have, and that's exactly where this team wants to be, getting into the playoffs. You talk about defensively. Last year, they were dead last against the run. Well, you add Danny Shelton and Xavier Cooper in the draft. You bring in Randy Starks.
And let me say this about Xavier Cooper, you know, from Washington State and Tacoma, Washington. You know, Washington State does not have a lot of good football players on it, but he was an outstanding player. He's a really good athlete. Is what it is. I think when they got him in the third round or fourth round, wherever they got him, I thought that that was a player that they, in fact, I think he was a third round pick. I had him in my top 100. And so I think I had him like 89 or something like that. So I think he was right around 100. And he might have been a better player than I thought he was. But when you play on a team like Washington State that gives up a bunch of points all the time, sometimes you wonder if there's any good players on there. But I think you'll like him from the standpoint of both a player and a person.
And we're certainly happy to have him. My question to you is, we know how good the back end of this defense is. How good can this front end of this defense, this line that was much maligned and suffered so many injuries last year?
Well, you know, you got to get the center back. It starts there. And you got to hope that somebody comes in and plays like your guard from Nevada played last year.
Joel Bitonio, sure.
Oh, he really played well. I mean, you know, if you hindsight, you'd probably pick him in the first round and not even step back and think about it. But I think what they did, I think what Ray did, is he hired Tarek, he hired Mike Hagan, he hired Ronnie Hill, he hired some veteran guys, Bobby DePaul, and I think that those veteran guys knew what they were doing and knew how to pick players and to add to your football team. That could give you a much better chance to be a better team. Now, the AFC North is not an easy division. You know, Baltimore is a good team. Pittsburgh is a good team. Cincinnati is a good team. So it's not like that you're going into a division that had a bunch of weak sisters. This is a very good division that you're in.
Yes.
Gil, my last question for you goes back to this rookie class.
How come you're letting me go so quickly?
We're not letting you go.
My last question for you is about a rookie running back, Duke Johnson, and the wrinkles in this offense that he will be able to add that the offense did not have last year.
He can really catch a football, is what he can do. And, you know, he was a really outstanding player there at Miami of Florida. And quite honestly, I was a little surprised that somebody didn't take him sooner. And you know, what happens with running backs now is they sit around there for a while. And I think if you could take Duke Johnson and play him at a different position, if he were an offensive lineman as an example or a wide receiver, I think he has first-round talent.
We certainly hope he can bring that dimension to this team. Want to kind of switch gears away from the Browns now to Deflategate. That gets underway today. Your take on everything that's happened, and what do you think will be the ultimate resolution here now that Goodell is hearing Tom Brady's appeal?
Well, I feel sorry for the commissioner because he's in a no-win situation. If he reduces it, everybody will say, well, he bowed and gave in to the Patriots. And if he doesn't do anything and keeps it at four games, then the Patriot Nation will hate him, is what it is. So he's got a tough decision to make. But I don't think there's anybody I would rather have making a decision for me than the commissioner. I think he's very honest and very fair. And I'm sure he'll do what he thinks is right for the protection of the Shield.
Gil, it's not my last question, so I'm going to take the opportunity to continue to have a conversation with you. You'll spend some time with you know, some of the rookies here in town this coming week. Who are you going to seek out to want to have a conversation with, you know, just to talk about where his head's at and the opportunity that's in front of him at his current franchise?
Well, you know, let me tell you what. I really enjoy watching the rookies out there. And you know, last year, what took place, and I can't tell you his name now. It was on Friday afternoon, I believe, out at the Browns practice field. And here's the Jacksonville draft choice that was drafted like in the third round. They're starting an offensive guard from Miami of Florida. And the next day, I called the head coach and I said, "You ought to be put in jail for stealing." Because just by watching him walk around and do some drills with these little kids, you saw what kind of an athlete you were getting. And so I like, that's what I like to watch. And I was there today, and I said to one of our fellows, Eddie Borselli, I said, I don't know who that guy is about 25 yards away there with the Kansas City uniform, but I'm going to walk over there and see who the heck it is. And it was Morris, who they drafted, Mitch Morris, who they drafted in the second. I had to turn his card around to see who it was. And as soon as I got back to the hotel, I called the Kansas City people, too, and I said, I don't know if Morris can play football, but he sure is a good athlete. and you know, you asked about Johnson as an example. We had a chance to talk to him, prior to practice or during practice this morning. And boy, he carries himself well. Your first choice, I said, look it, you we want you on our show. We'll let you continue playing pool tonight. He was in there playing pool with some guys. Uh-huh. So you get to see these guys and you get a feel for them. Smith, Devin Smith, the wide receiver from the Jets in the second round from Ohio State,
right,
who can run very fast. You get an opportunity to ask him about Cardale Jones and just watch him catch the ball. Even though he's just fooling around, it gives you a pretty good idea of people that are going to be players in the National Football League for the next 7 to 10 years.
Yeah, talking with Gil Brandt, the godfather of the NFL. I want to get your take on Nate Orchard because the Browns are very high on him. They really think he's going to help and impact their ability to rush the passer. What was your evaluation of him coming out of Utah? And I know that he matched up pretty favorably with Andres Pete when he went against him at Stanford.
Yeah, I tell you what, I had Orchard rated. Well, you know, he had a great year last year. I think he had, he had 14 sacks or something like that.
18 and a half, yeah.
Is what he had. He wasn't that great going in. He had two sacks against the Stanford tackle Pete, I think.
Yep.
And I forget he did well against somebody else. So, you know, a lot of times you're looking where the sacks are coming from, and if they're coming, some years ago Goldston, the player that the Jets drafted number 6 overall, I think. You know, he had some sacks, but they were against Mid-American Conference people. And so when that takes place, you know, you say to yourself, well, I wonder what'll happen. Not much happened is what it is. But I had him ranked in my top 50 players. If I remember, he's a married player.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes those married players have a hard time in college. And I think he has a child, too. And with all that said, you know, you don't get a lot of rest and you don't get a lot of food. But I thought that Utah's team on defense was very good, and he was really the best player there.
Gil, in your mind, how far away is this Browns team from being, or is it what position, I guess, quarterback? Are they one quarterback away in your mind from being a team that can really challenge for the playoffs every single year here?
Well, I think that McCown can do the good job. I don't know if he's going to get you to the Super Bowl. I don't know if he's an Andrew Luck as an example.
Sure.
But I do think that he's a good quarterback. And let me tell you this. I use a word a lot called competitive balance. And I think that the National Football League, we have great competitive balance. You know, now after watching the NBA Finals and seeing two teams in the finals and then watching the golf tournament on Sunday afternoon, when we get to the 17th hole and the winner has a 3-stroke lead, and by the time the 17th hole is played, everybody's even at 4 under.
Right.
I think it tells you just anybody can win, and anybody can win if certain things happen to you. And you know, it starts with injuries. It starts with expectations of a player that is above and beyond what you thought it was going to be. And I think it also starts with the fact that your coach is now a second-year coach. And so when you have guys like Joe Hayden and that playing on your team, they'll probably play a little bit better this year. I don't know if that's possible with him, but they'll play a little bit better. You know, the biggest thing they have to do, too, is get the corner for Oklahoma State, who they drafted
Justin
last
Gilbert.
Year pretty
yep.
high. They got to get him understanding that he's here to play football. And if they can do that, then this team, you know, has a chance. But as I said earlier, boy, those are three strong teams.
Sure.
With three very good quarterbacks. And I'm not sure that Cleveland doesn't have two pretty – I mean, excuse me, Cincinnati doesn't have two good quarterbacks, because the Alabama quarterback has really come on. And then you've got a guy that's took a team to three straight playoffs and is criticized because he can't win a game.
Talking, of course, about A.J. McCarron and Andy Dalton there. Gil, you were a big Johnny Manziel supporter last year. It is amazing here in this city, you would, and in many places around the country, the guy's played seven quarters in the NFL, and it is being, it's almost a foregone conclusion that he will never amount to anything in the National Football League in the minds of many. What is your thought on Johnny Manziel, and do you still believe he can become a quality starting quarterback in the NFL?
Well, I hope he can, because I like him a lot. And I think that you had to see what he did at Texas A&M. And yes, I know he's not the tallest guy in the world, but he was a great athlete. He made big plays. But I think everybody has to learn that you have to work at whatever job you're in. It doesn't make any difference if you're a radio broadcaster, a real estate salesperson, or a football player. And I was really disappointed with Johnny in the fact that when he did get to play, he really wasn't prepared to play. And that's bad. You know, it would be really easy selecting players if you just knew how they were going to play once they got a lot of money. And in Johnny's case, he had a lot of money before the Browns signed him, his family did. But I'm really disappointed with him because, as I said, I expected great things out of him. I expected him to be a fan favorite and a person that everybody could relate to. He's got a big hill to climb, is about all I can say.
That was the godfather of the NFL, Gil Brandt, recapping the Browns offseason thus far. Coming back after this break, we're going to hear from Ray Farmer, general manager of the Cleveland Browns, talking about the offseason as well. Right after the draft, right out of the cow's mouth, Ray Farmer. Matt Wilhelm, Matt Fontana with you today on this Friday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Mike Greenberg and Mike Golic are Mike and Mike. Weekday mornings at 6 on ESPN 850, WKNR Cleveland, ESPNCleveland.com, and the ESPN Cleveland app.